Here's Hal.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Pastor Mark. I want to begin with something tonight. Here, let me grab that, Ron. I had to twist her arm, but you know, we talked 2 weeks ago about families, what you can do, how you build your life into your, I think I'm getting feedback on here, build your life into your adult kids. Kay shared with me last week after a class, and you just have to hear what she shared with me. Will you share that with all of us, Kay?
We have two grandsons who are in college. And for Valentine's, we had delivered to their dorms those heart-shaped pizzas. That was one thing. The other is that I told them that when they graduated from high school, I did with both of them, and I plan to do it with the rest of our grandchildren, write letters to them, where long letters that I began with memories of when they were born and other events at times, different times during their lives, and then gave them a challenge for their days in college and for the rest of their lives to carry the torch and to pass the faith along to future generations. And then I also, one of my hobbies is I collect quotes that I like, and so I hand wrote in a empty one of those blank books, about two-thirds of the book through with quotes that I put, and I wrote a letter at the beginning of the book saying basically the same thing, you know, that I am glad that they are not only my grandsons, but that they're my brothers in Christ, and that I will always be praying for them. I'm praying for their future wives and their future children. And I left space at the end of the book for them to add quotes that they like and to someday pass along to their children, and hopefully maybe they'll like it enough to keep it going for a few generations.
Is that awesome or what? So if you have grandkids, bless them. Encourage them. Do creative things for them which will make a huge difference in their lives. Somebody's thinking about me. Somebody's proud of me. Somebody's going to bless my life. It's just really an awesome thing to do. And birthdays and special event kind of days are always really special days to always do something like that. Do it for your adult kids. Do it for your grandkids. And they will be blessed in a thousand ways. So keep thinking about what we're saying. My purpose in these 5 weeks is to just nudge us all along in the process, what we would call finishing well. I want to read a scripture to open tonight. It's not on your handout at all. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul says this to a young pastor: "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father." You know, you think about the generational gap between old and young. And here was young Timothy, a young pastor. Not quite sure how old he might have been. He may have been in his 30s, you know, as a young guy. But how do you treat older people as a young pastor? Value them. How do we treat each other in a church as older people, or wherever we go? We value each other in a powerful way. Young people valuing their parents, learning from them, asking them questions, listening to them. Where does that happen in a church, which is tonight's agenda? So I want to spur your thinking. Tonight we're going to talk about finish well in Hunter's Glen Baptist Church. Now, I must have a disclaimer. I'm still brand new as a member of the body of Christ and of Hunter's Glen Baptist Church. And I want to be a part of whatever God's doing here and encouraging Pastor Mark and the mission here. But I want to think with you tonight about what it means for older people to finish well in a church. What does God want to do through an older generation? Now, if I were having a conversation with high school kids, I'd talk about what do high school kids bring to a church? What do young people bring? What do middle-aged people bring? What do older people bring? And by the way, next week, even we're going to meet in a different place, but I want to encourage you to come next week. Don't get derailed from finishing well. How do I really finish well, and what kind of legacy can I leave, or does God want me to leave in my life? So I want to review a little bit. Tonight, we're going to talk about the impact of an older generation, but follow with me. You know of Robert Browning's poem, "Grow Old Along With Me." Say the next line with me. The best is yet to be. Do you believe that? Do you think that way? Are you looking towards the future with a sense of what does God have for me next kind of thing? The last of life for which the first was made. I love that. God values the second half of our life. Had a conversation with somebody today. You know, when you get to near halftime in a football game, sometimes they take a knee. Just let the clock run out. Well, we're not to take a knee in finishing well. We're to finish out the half, the first half and the second half. We're to finish out well. The last of life for which the first was made, our times are in His hands, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. If this is true, we don't retire from something, but to something. Remember, Browning says, and the scriptures say, the best is yet to come. So we're retiring when we finish our work in that sense, using the sociological term retirement. When we retire, we're retiring to something that God has for us next. Applying the scripture to our aging years, for we're His workmanship as aging people, created in Christ Jesus to do good works as aging people, which God ordained beforehand that we should walk in them at this season in our lives. So what does this decade mean for you? What does God want you to do? What has He wired you to do? What has He gifted you to do? And how are you going to keep giving your life away in that sense? Moses said, so teach us to number our days that we would present to you a heart of wisdom. And he says, let the favor of our Lord be upon us and confirm the work of our hands. What is the work of your hands that God has for you to do? It is not just to sit back and take it easy. It is not just to take a knee. God has all kinds of things that He has in mind for you and me to do. And He wants to stir our imagination through His Spirit, through the Word, looking at our lives, developing a mission of what He calls us to do. Peter says, for if these qualities are yours, and what are the red words? Are increasing. Just take a good look at your life. How much are you growing? Where, in what areas are you growing in your life? Where is God stretching you by the people He's placed around you? For their years and are increasing, they'll render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Peter said that just years before his own death. That's why Paul said, I press. Remember, I press after it. I get after it towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As Hendrick said, when your memories are more exciting than your dreams, you've begun to die. I love it. What are you dreaming of? You know, if I gave you a written assignment, take the next 10 minutes on a blank paper and write out your dreams for the next 10 years. What are the dreams that God is planning in your heart? Tonight, Wes, what are the dreams you have for your involvement at Hunter's Glen? Where does God want to use you? It's a question I'm asking, you know, as a newcomer into the church. How does God want to use me? Well, how does God want to use you where you're at in your season of life? What is He stirring in your mind to do? Now, just think with me about the aging question. The number of Americans ages 65 and older is projected to more than double from the 46 million today to over 98 million in the next 45 years, basically. And the 65 and older age group share of the total population will go to almost 1 in 4 people in our country. The aging population is exploding in America for a lot of different reasons. Now, the landscape of the country is going to change dramatically with the presence, the growing presence of an aging congregation, an aging society. What is the church going to do in terms of evangelism for older people? What is the church going to do for continuing to encourage us as we ourselves age, which is my question tonight? That's God's question for us. You know, just our culture, you know, the growth of the aging population in America will impact this country in a very powerful way. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. Now, Lynn has helped me. I just asked her, give me some demographics of the church. So I sat down, she and I went over this, and first of all, there's a disclaimer. I'm sure there's variables in all of this, but it gives us a general picture of where, gives me a general picture of where Hunter's Glen is. There are 300 people. These are members. These are not regular attenders. So just, I said, well, just pull members. And how many people, 1 to 10, are members? I don't know. When do kids join the church? So there's all kinds of variables in these. But in ages 1 to 30, there are 300 members at Hunter's Glen. Ages 31 to 60, there are 478. There are 60, between 60 and 100, there are 534 members. So at Hunter's Glen, just with these numbers, we as an old, and I'm here, I'm with you, I'm 67, we are part of a dominant sociological movement at Hunter's Glen. So you ask yourself, a pastor, what is this group going to do in the church? What's their impact? What do we do for kids? What do we do for middle-aged people? You're asking all of these questions about our place in the body of Christ. And we got a different one here, just same figures, but just in a different way. 55 people are 21 to 31, 79, 32 to 41, 42 to 51, 103. The 50s are 150. The 60s are 225. That's the largest group in the adult section of the church. Those who are in their 60s, that's me, I'm 67. 72 to 81, 109. So you can see in these areas, it's a dominant group in the church. Now, just let me ask you a simple question. What difference will we make in the life of Hunter's Glen? What difference would God like us to make in Hunter's Glen? What should we as a generation of people do differently? Where should we be involved differently maybe? How does God want to expand our dreams? Remember, we're asking the question, what are the works God has for you? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship in our 60s, in our 70s, whatever it is, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which he ordained beforehand, that we should do them at this decade in Hunter's Glen. How do we support our pastor? You could ask 1,000 questions. Now, I can't answer all these questions tonight. So back to where I started, my goal would be to spark your imagination to think. What does God want to do? What should I do differently? What should I be open to? What are my skills? What are my gifts? What are the things that God has built into my life that I bring to our community, to our church? And what does he want me to do? You with me? What is the mission of older generations in the local church? What does ministry, and I have this phrase, to and by elders? How do we encourage each other? That's a ministry to each other. And what kind of ministry can we have would be by us into the fabric of the church? What impact can we have? How can God use us as we age in the church? What does an intergenerational ministry, we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, in a local church look like? And how can an aging generation keep impacting our church and our culture? I'm going to talk a little bit about this next week in some ways that will amaze you, but I want to just address this general question tonight. Now, I want to submit to you, there are 5 core things you have to do, we have to do. In fact, I would say these are 5 core things that anybody has to do in their lives to do the works which God has ordained for us. I want to say there's something about these five things that all of us, that the Holy Spirit wants all of us to be doing and keep doing. Now, I have a verse or two with each one, but let me roll through these. First of all, any questions stirring out there in this simple introduction? Y'all are too quiet. I'm going to put a questionnaire on tables, and I'm grateful you're here and interested. I hope you're thinking about what God wants you to be and do. That's what He wants us to do. Five things. He wants us to grow well. You know, that was our first evening. God has a mission for older people, for all of us to keep growing. He wants us to connect well. No man is a what? An island. No man lives to himself, Paul says, and no man dies to himself. We are all connected to other people. And one of my things is, I think the scriptures would say, just be aware of how God wants you to be connected to people all around you and follow those leads. He wants us to care well for each other. He wants us to invest our lives with others, and He wants us to serve. Now, I just want to go through these and reflect on them. We want to grow well, and this was the first session, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. We will keep growing spiritually. I mean, you could say it for yourself. We will press on so that we may lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of us. As we grow older, we'll continue to excel in being and becoming all that Jesus calls us to be. Being an intentional disciple as a follower of Christ cannot weaken as we age. I mean, Jesus calls us to follow Him. We will run with endurance and finish, I added, the race that is set before us, Hebrews 12:2, looking on to Jesus. That is our mission. That should be true of every one of us here. We ought to be able to say these days are our best days. I had a close friend, a psychiatrist friend who lived in Louisville, Kentucky, when I was with the Christian Medical and Dental Society, and he was a very dear friend. I knew him for 20-plus years, and he was in his early 80s when cancer began to take his body. His name is David Stewart, an awesome guy, and I used to go visit him, and he would say to me when I came, he'd say, "How aren't these great days?" And, you know, he said that all of his declining days. And I remember the last time I saw him, I gave him a big hug, looked up in my eyes, and he said, "How aren't these great days? Don't ever stop living that way." David kept dreaming all of his life, and he served God brilliantly into his 80s. We will grow well. The second one, I want to start drilling down on these. We will connect well. We will connect well with each other. As older people, we have needs that are unique to this season in life. We will stay connected and be aware of those needs with each other. Perhaps we will need each other more in this season of our lives than ever before. You know, Ron was talking about, are you here, Ron? Right there, yeah, sorry. The family, she had a stroke. Incredible needs in that family's life. You know, critical needs will take place during these last couple decades of our life. Can we stay connected with people? Mark, one of your challenges, one of my challenges, I mean, as a former pastor, but I'm still part of the body of Christ. How do you stay connected to people? And how many people can you connect with? You know, that's a hard question. Let me just be very practical. How many new people do you want to meet on a Sunday morning? Do we gravitate to our friends, or do we gravitate to new people who are coming in, new people who are sitting around us, and I don't know who they are? Or you may be in a Sunday school class with people. And you don't have, let me just suggest, you don't have the foggiest idea what kids are doing in families. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I think one of the things I have that's been challenging to me as a difference maker in the local church, how do you get at real needs that people have? How do they share what's really going on in their lives? And can we connect with people? You know, you can only have so many conversations on a Sunday morning. Right? You can't sit around and talk to people for 30 minutes. I mean, you can if you go out to lunch with them. You can if you say to somebody, I want to get together with you and hear what's going on in your life. Can you stay connected? Now, one of the things that runs around in my mind is this. Can you track all the connections that you have in your life right now, in Sunday school, in worship service, in choir, wherever you are, and do you know what the needs are in all of those people? And how can you meet those? How can you encourage them? How could you pray for those? You know, what happens, just like tonight, you know, we share a few critical needs. But you remember, was it 2 weeks ago when we talked about the family? I asked the simple question, how many of you would have a prodigal son or daughter in your or grandson or grandchildren? Let me see your hands again. I think a third of our hands went up that night at least. When's the last time you have sat and shared those, that brokenness and the hurt that you feel for people in your family with another friend? You know, I'm going to say, you don't have time to do that after church on Sunday, do you? It's hard to have time to even do that in a Sunday school class. Sometimes you have time to do it, but, you know, I'm a teacher. I want to teach. Yeah, but people, there are things going on in our lives. So how do we share that? How do we stay connected? Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another. I love the original, the New American, not the updated version, but the previous version. How to let us consider to provoke was the word. And the translator said, you know, that's a tough word. You know, we shouldn't provoke each other. So it's the word stimulate. That means to get in each other and stimulate something to happen. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. How to drill down and do that in people with whom you are already connected. Do you know what their needs are? I mean, take a little personal assessment. What do people wrestle with who are in your Sunday school class? Do you know what they do? I asked, you know, like in 2 weeks ago when we talked about our grandkids, do you know what, or even your adult kids, do you know what your adult kids' dreams are? Do you know what they wrestle with? Do you know what hurts them on the inside? Do you know where they struggle in their marriage? Do you know where their disappointments are? How to get inside of a person all the more as you see the day draw near. Now, I love this verse here. This is a new one. Nehemiah is just a tremendous book. Nehemiah, at the end of his book, in chapter 13, you know, he builds the wall and they rebuild the city and blah, 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 blah. But the people aren't together in their obedience and love for the law. So here's what he said, verse 25. So I took those men to task, gave them a piece of my mind. Even slapped some of them and jerked them by the hair. Now, this is Eugene Peterson's version. The New American Standard, I don't know what your version says. You might, somebody look it up in a different version. The New American Standard says, I cursed them. Well, he didn't curse them in the way that we use cursing, but he got after them. He pulled their hair, slapped some of them around and jerked them. I made them swear to God, don't let your daughters marry to, don't marry your sons to their sons, that's the Gentiles. Don't let their daughters marry your sons, and don't you yourselves marry them. They were supposed to marry fellow believers in the Jewish race, right? So they weren't doing it. They were intermarrying in the exile. You know, their faith was kind of falling apart in their community. So I asked this question. Hobecker, when's the last time you've done that with somebody? When's the last time you slapped somebody around and said, what are you doing? When's the last time you pulled somebody's hair and said, wake up, buddy? You know, what does God want to do in your life? Connecting with people. You with me? You know, it's not just Sunday as usual business. It's developing relationships in the body of Christ in which we diligently encourage each other to grow. You with me? That's connecting. We will care well. We will care well for each other during unique challenges, opportunities. All these things we share with people. We will, won't we? We should share what our struggles are, what our challenges are, what our dreams are. Will you pray with me that God will accomplish this through my life? Opportunities and new personal crises in this season, and develop our own life stage togetherness. So, for example, those 534 people from 60 to 100, we're going to develop a life stage cohesiveness that is going to move through like the pig and the python. We're moving through this church and we're together, we're committed. We're going to go for broke to help our brothers and sisters in this body of Christ to grow as never before. We're going to connect with people. We're going to meet needs. And we're going to do it as never before. You with me? That's our mission. Care well. We will care well. A new commandment, John 13, 34 and 45. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you what? Love one. What does that mean? What does that mean in terms of real needs in our lives? How do we commit ourselves to helping each other? Work through challenges, healthcare challenges, family challenges, whatever they may be. I think that's what love is, right? Love is time. Love is energy. Love is not words. I love my grandkids. You know what I do? I sit down on the floor, I play with them. I throw them up in the air. I look in their eyes 1,000 ways and say, I love you. Well, why should it be any different with adults? Why can't we sit down and say, I love you? I want to hear your story. I want to hear what God's doing in your life. I want to hear what you struggle with, because I struggle with the same things. We're no different. The devil's after you and me just like he is anybody else in the world, isn't he? We'll invest well. We will invest in the generations that follow us. Fulfilling the Great Commission of making disciples cannot be excused by the aging process. Now, let me back up for a second. We're helping each other become more mature disciples amongst ourselves day by day and following Jesus. But we're also concerned about those behind us. Many younger people are hungry to spend time with those who have biblical truth, spiritual perspective, and life experiences possessed by an older generation. The scriptures call it discipleship. One of the things... Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Don't use your freedom just for yourself. When you're retired, just don't hit the road in your RV and forget the church. I mean, that's the cultural idea of retirement. You've paid your dues. So sit back and take a break and enjoy life. I think there's a time for taking a break from what you've worked at hard during your life. But I don't think God ever means for us to retire from kingdom ministry. How is he going to use us in our lives? Now, back to these demographics again. What could an older group of people in the church offer younger people? Now, I want you to help me here for a little bit. What could older people do for those coming behind them in a local church? As you have an idea, I just want you to yell it out.
Mentor.
How do you mentor people? You build a relationship with people. So, do what?
Spend time.
So, here's a simple question. How many of you, and you don't need to raise a hand, how many of you have one person who's 20 years younger than you, or more? It could be 10, I mean, somewhere around that area. Somebody who's coming along behind you that you have said in your mind, I want to love this person. I want to help them to keep growing in Christ. You got a question?
No.
Oh, you got a person? You're doing that? Awesome. All of us ought to have somebody or several somebodies in our lives where we're doing that. in addition to our own adult kids. Now, my kids are 38, 37, and 34. By the way, just a minor miracle. I mean, God answered a great prayer in my 34-year-old son's life today. I think he wonders how God's working in his life, but God gave him a miraculous answer in something today. I was just ecstatic. I jumped into his arms and said, I'm really thrilled what God did today, Jonathan. It's really awesome. But how many young people in this church do you have as an older person with whom you're spending time with? You say, Hal, I'm involved in a Sunday school class and that absorbs my time. Well, they're all your age, aren't they? How do you find somebody young? Where do you find these people you want to mentor? Yes, Virginia. Pardon? Is it women or is it everybody?
Men can come.
Are we welcome or not? There's a debate about that. Is it 50-50?
No, sadly, but we're getting more younger women coming in.
Well, we got some young women here who could give us some, say, hey, if we want to get, you know, how do you do it? That's a great question.
I can tell you how I do it.
How do you do it? But you have to be intentional at reaching out to engage people. You know, a phrase I used the other day, you don't slouch towards holiness. Holiness is something you choose to discipline your life to achieve, to go after. So if you're going to mentor, if you're going to be involved in younger people and share your life with them, you got to go out with them. You got to go have lunch. You got to go over to their home, play with their kids, do something. And the other thing, if you say, I don't know who these people are, just take stock of your relationships. My guess is that in your network, in my network, there are people that God has already placed there that would be potential people that you could give your life to and say, I love you, I want to come and encourage you, I want to hear what you're wrestling with, and I want you to know that I'm going to be your friend and pray for you. I'm going to bless you in that way. Somebody else. Yes.
You know Brian.
Yes.
I'll share real quick. A young man came and worked for me 1 year, actually nearly 10 years ago. And within a year, he lost his father. As life would turn out, I do not have children. And so I felt the Lord leading me to step up and kind of look after him. And so I did that in some ways. And it developed into
keep speaking up.
Yeah, if you think of all of your friends, when one goes to maybe be with the Lord, they may have children that you might have been acquainted with that you might be able to reach out to and spend some time with them as well, kind of like what I'm doing with Brian, who lost his father. So there's a lot of ways that you can do that if you just kind of think about it the way Hal's presenting.
If you don't have any young people, I always sit in church and I think, I'd like to get to know that young couple over there. Well, why don't I go over and meet them after church? You know, you meet people and you move on. I mean, you build relationships and you build your network. Anybody else have a thought? Yes.
I came to late, but I have a
saw me in the congregation, befriended me, and pulled me into church, pulled me into other groups. So that is a good way. You see someone coming, they've come maybe 2-3 Sundays, you'll reach out to that person, you'll meet them, and by constantly reinforcing that, you know, I'm interested in you, how can I pray for you this week, that often builds into a relationship. It often is an inroad into their life in a way they never imagined. May have come into church to have someone reach out to them in their particular area of hurt, and that could probably be one way to get through to them as well.
Yeah. By the way, that's the way we met. I sat right in front of you in church, so we met each other and have begun a relationship.
She's right, one of the younger people that I met, you know, that's exactly how I met. She, one Sunday, was in tears. I don't know why she was in tears. I saw her. I connected. I asked her if I could pray. And for weeks after that, she called me. We talked. We built a relationship.
Okay, now let me just point something out here. If there are 534 people in this age group, if half of them, 260 people, would reach out to somebody younger and say, God, lead me to a younger person that I can build my life into and can encourage, what might the impact be across the church? Without ever any, Mark doesn't have to preach a message on this. Nobody has to stand up and do something special. Even if half of us in this room just did that. Say, God, over the next month, I want to pray for one person. And if you're doing that, you can ask for two or three or whatever. But you may be maxed out as far as that goes. But if you're not, just pray and ask God, God, help me find somebody that I can begin to pour my life into and build into for the next generation. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds, even when I'm old and gray. Don't forget me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. My thesis is you should do that in your family, but the body of Christ needs it just as much as your kids do. So who are the people? And you're going to have to go out of your way to do that. You with me? Say amen. Let me give you a different perspective. I would suggest there are four things that a senior adult population, that is this group right here, the 62 plus, what should we be doing as a church? Number one, we're to encourage and assist senior adults to receive the gospel. What are we doing evangelistically to share the gospel with people our age? And by the way, as I said earlier, that's going to be 1 in 4 in our country in the next 40 years. And unless we specifically ask God for a vision to reach older people with the gospel, they will not be reached. To grow spiritually, that's what we've been talking about. To lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of us. And to be involved in Christian outreach. You know, I shared the story about how Maurice Mosley came to my house on a Monday night. And I was instantly connected to Hunter's Glen because of our family connections. It's still it's a miracle to me that he knocked on my door. I mean, since I know his kids and everybody and know his ministry, that I didn't know he started it. But, you know, outreach. You know, do we need people on Monday night to go out and reach out? Do we need people on any night to reach out? Here we go. To assist in meeting senior adult needs in body, soul, and spirit. You know, if we just decided we're going to take care of each other. We're going to build a network amongst us as older people in the church. And wherever there is a need, we're going to go. We're going to organize ourselves. We're going to be involved. Number three, to assist the families of senior adults. Ron, you mentioned our friend. I don't know her. I'm sorry. But, you know, the kids. Who's help? I mean, we could have a whole evening on medical issues with our kids, as we face healthcare issues ourselves, who's there to support the family? My wife has a fantastic story about taking care of her mother for 17 years, Alzheimer's. She cared for her. The children, how does this, I come from a family of six, and my wife says, you know, her parents reached perfection the first one, so they only had one. The chaos with my five siblings on my mother's last 4 years of her life were fascinating. I mean, how do you reach a consensus with six people scattered all over the globe, literally? It was challenging. And Vicki says, it's just me. But there are issues in our lives as we go that impact our kids. Who's helping them to make those decisions? You know, some hard decisions will be made. Who's helping those kids? Who in the body of Christ is coming around them? Or is it just the hospital? Is it just the doctors and the body of Christ isn't involved at all? Number four, to educate the family of God concerning the process of aging and facilitate intergenerational ministries. And this mentoring thing, what I think is fascinating, and we should have long conversations. This is my youth table over here. You know, I wonder how young people would be fascinated in sitting. In fact, I meant to bring it tonight on the Sunday Plano paper. It gets thrown out at your house if you live in Plano. Did anybody see it? On the right column, there is the Plano school system is engaging in taking high school seniors into senior living facilities, and young people, high school kids, are having conversations with all the older people because they don't know anything about an older person's life. They don't know their history. They don't know their issues. They don't know anything like that. So to assist the family of God on intergenerational challenges, for example, let me go back to our little chart. I think it's one of the best things the church can do is help these people with different generational attributes, different generational challenges, to sit down and encourage and share with each other. Like, for example, an adult Sunday school class having a get-together with their adult kids and having a townhouse discussion on what the family is really like. Or doing that with an older class and a younger class here. You know, something like that where generations are sitting and talking with each other about their challenges and what God is doing in their lives. I mean, back to our first thing, to grow. Can you imagine how much younger people would be encouraged if they could just sit and listen to somebody 30 years older than they are talk about their relationship with Jesus and how he's stretching them? And the best thing they could have for them would be that. I had led a Bible study this morning. About 25 guys were in it. And there was a young guy sitting off the side. Most of them were old guys like me, or one was an 81-year-old guy. And the young guy never said a word. And after the Bible study was over, I was just a guest at this place, so I only knew a few of the guys. He came up to me and he said, "I really appreciate being with older people." He said, "I'm never with older people." He said, "All I'm surrounded with at work is these young people who we're all going gangbusters and doing as good as we can and everybody's stroking us. But I never get to sit around with older people and hear their stories about what God is doing in their life." So I thought, what would that look like here? Now I'm getting close to running out of time. Let me go a couple more. Ministry options here. And this is just a tad of, I think, what's here. ESL's here, The Hill on Thursday morning. They need people. First Impressions, meeting people on Sunday mornings, children in preschool. Youth ministries, you know, we should brainstorm as a possibility, the kind of things that are available and call for somebody to pay attention to them. And one person, even a few people, can't do all these things, but every member of the body of Christ has its place. And the Spirit of God leads us all in different and unique ways with our giftedness to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. What else jumps off at you? This is just a short list of things that I'm a newbie in the church. What kinds of things would you add to this? Vacation Vacation Bible School, always need help. And that's only, what, a one-week deal? Sigler Elementary. Mentors to little children in preschool, that's in the church. I have another whole thing outside the church. Your neighborhood, your elementary school. I used to be a mentor to Prestonwood Elementary kids a block away from the church for which I pastored. I'd go in and hang out with these little kids. I'd do it for 1 hour a week. It's amazing. I mean, these kids don't have dads. They're in our elementary schools right next to where we live. Local elementary school. Volunteers in your interest area. You know, and that's outside the church. And it's an extension of the church wherever you go. ISI, International Students, Inc. For the past 3 years, I've mentored a foreign Chinese student down here at UTD with ISI, with Jeff Anthony, who's a staff member. He goes to church here. And he's always looking for people who will just hang out. I mean, your only challenge, you do it?
Yes, sir.
1 hour a month to hang out with an international kid. Do you know that 98% of all the world's presidents today trained in America? And can you imagine if somebody at a church had mentored one of those kids and brought them to faith in Christ? Now, we could ask what ifs all forever, but you get the idea of how it happens. Yes? That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, I'm about out of time, but you got the idea. So, let me go back. Here we go. What is the impact between 62 and up to as long as you have health and life? What's the impact this community, our generation, could make in Hunter's Glen Baptist Church? My prayer is that God would open your eyes and open my eyes to new things that I haven't thought about, ways God wants to work through me, ways God wants to work through you in doing His kingdom work right here and right in our city. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, I hope it generates continual discussion. I want to spark the interest. Next week, we'll close it out. What will keep me from finishing well, and what kind of legacy will I leave? It'll be a good evening together. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this evening to share ideas and to encourage each other about what we as an aging group can do in this church. I pray that your Spirit will lead us in powerful ways, lead Pastor Mark and the staff in challenging us and helping us to be the men and women, dads and moms and senior generation you are calling us to be at this church at this time, for such a time as this. I pray this, that you would move through us powerfully in your Spirit's wisdom and strength. In the name of Christ, I ask all these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you.